talkative said back, "You lie at the catch again. This is not for edification. Well, if you please, propound another sign how this work of grace discovereth itself where it is. Not I, for I see we shall not agree. Well, if you will not, will you give me leave to do it? You may use your liberty. A work of grace in the soul discovereth itself either to him that hath it or to standers by. To him that hath it thus, it gives him conviction of sin, especially the defilement of his nature and the sin of unbelief, for the sake of which he is sure to be damned if he findeth not mercy at God's hand by faith in Jesus Christ. This sight and sense of things worketh in him sorrow and shame for sin. He findeth, moreover, revealed in him the Saviour of the world, and the absolute necessity of closing with him for life, at the which he findeth hungerings and thirstings after him, to which hungerings, etc., the promise is made. Now, according to the strength or weakness of his faith in his Saviour, so is his joy and peace, so is his love to holiness, so are his desires to know him more, and also to serve him in this world. But though I say it discovereth itself thus unto him, yet it is but seldom that he is able to conclude that this is a work of grace, because his corruptions now, and his abused reason, make his mind to misjudge in this matter. Therefore in him that hath this work, there is required a very sound judgment, before he can with steadiness conclude that this is a work of grace. To others it is thus discovered. Firstly, by an experimental confession of his faith in Christ. Secondly, by a life answerable to that confession, to wit, a life of holiness. Heart holiness, family holiness, if he hath a family, and by conversation holiness in the world, which in the general teacheth him inwardly to abhor his sin, and himself for that, in secret, to suppress it in his family, and to promote holiness in the world, not by talk only, as an hypocrite or talkative person may do, but by a practical subjection in faith and love to the power of the word. And now, sir, as to this brief description of the work of grace, and also the discovery of it, if you have aught to object, object. If not, then give me leave to propound to you a second question. Nay, my part is not now to object, but to hear. Let me therefore have your second question. It is this. Do you experience the first part of the description of it, and doth your life and conversation testify the same? Or standeth your religion in word or tongue, and not in deed and truth? Pray, if you incline to answer me in this, say no more than you know the God above will say amen to, and also nothing but what your conscience can justify you in, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Besides, to say, I am thus, and thus, when my conversation, and all my neighbours tell me I lie, is great wickedness. Then talkative at first began to blush, but recovering himself, thus he replied, You come now to experience, to conscience and God, and to appeal to him for justification of what is spoken. This kind of discourse I did not expect, nor am I disposed to give an answer to such questions, because I count not myself bound thereto, unless you take upon you to be a catechiser, and though you should so do, yet I may refuse to make you my judge. But I pray, will you tell me why you ask me such questions? Because I saw you forward to talk, and because I knew not that you had aught else but notion. Besides, to tell you all the truth, I have heard of you, that you are a man whose religion lies in talk, and that your conversation gives this your mouth profession the lie. They say you are a spot among Christians, and that religion fareth the worse for your ungodly conversation, that some already have stumbled at your wicked ways, and that more are in danger of being destroyed thereby. Your religion, and an alehouse, and covetousness, and uncleanness, and swearing, and lying, and vain company-keeping, etc., will stand together. The proverb is true of you, which is said of a whore, to wit, that she is a shame to all women, so you are a shame to all professors. Since you are ready to take up reports, and to judge so rashly as you do, I cannot but conclude you are some peevish or melancholy man, not fit to be discoursed with, and so adieu. Then came up Christian, and said to his brother, I told you how it would happen. Your words and his lusts could not agree. He had rather leave your company than reform his life. But he is gone, as I said. Let him go. The loss is no man's but his own. He has saved us the trouble of going from him. For he continuing, as I suppose he will do, as he is, he would have been but a plot in our company. Besides, the apostle says, from such withdraw thyself. But I am glad we had this little discourse with him. It may happen that he will think of it again. However, I have dealt plainly with him, and so am clear of his blood if he perisheth. You did well to talk so plainly to him as you did. There is but little of this faithful dealing with men nowadays, and that makes religion so stink in the nostrils of many as it doth. For they are these talkative fools, whose religion is only in word, and are debauched and vain in their conversation, that, being so much admitted into the fellowship of the godly, do puzzle the world, blemish Christianity, and grieve the sincere. I wish that all men would deal with such as you have done. Then should they either be made more comfortable to religion, or the company of saints would be too hot for them. Then did Faithful say, how talkative, at first, lifts up his plumes, how bravely doth he speak, how he presumes to drive down all before him, but so soon as Faithful talks of heart work, like the moon that's past the full, into the wane he goes, and so will all, but he that heart work knows. Thus they went on talking of what they had seen by the way, and so made that way easy, which would otherwise no doubt have been tedious to them, for now they went through a wilderness. Now when they were got almost quite out of this wilderness, Faithful chanced to cast his eye back, and espied one coming after them, and he knew him. Oh, said Faithful to his brother, who comes yonder? Then Christian looked and said, it is my good friend, Evangelist. Aye, and my good friend too, said Faithful, for 'twas he that set me the way to the gate. Now was Evangelist come up unto them, and thus saluted them. Peace be with you, dearly beloved, and peace be to your helpers. Welcome, welcome, my good Evangelist. The sight of thy countenance brings to my remembrance thy ancient kindness and unwearied labouring for my eternal good. And a thousand times welcome, said good Faithful. Thy company, O sweet Evangelist, how desirable it is to us poor pilgrims. Then said Evangelist, how hath it fared with you, my friends, since the time of our last parting? What have you met with, and how have you behaved yourselves? Then Christian and Faithful told him of all things that had happened to them in the way, and how, and with what difficulty, they had arrived to that place. Right glad am I, said Evangelist, not that you met with trials, but that you have been victors, and for that you have, notwithstanding many weaknesses, continued in the way to this very day. I say, right glad am I of this thing, and that for my own sake and yours, I have sowed and you have reaped. And the day is coming when both he that soweth and they that reaped shall rejoice together. That is, if you hold out, for in due time ye shall reap, if you faint not. The crown is before you, and it is an uncorruptible one. So run, that ye may obtain it. Some there be that set out for this crown, and after they have gone far for it, another comes in and takes it from them. Hold fast, therefore, that you have. Let no man take your crown. You are not yet out of the gunshot of the devil. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let the kingdom be always before you, and believe steadfastly concerning things that are invisible. Let nothing that is on this side the other world get within you, and above all, look well to your own hearts, and to the lusts thereof, for they are deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Set your faces like a flint, You have all power in heaven and earth on your side." Then Christian thanked him for his exhortation, but told him withal that they would have him speak farther to them for their help the rest of the way, and rather for that they well knew that he was a prophet and could tell them of things that might happen unto them, and also how they might resist and overcome them, to which request Faithful also consented. So Evangelist began as followeth: "My sons, you have heard in the words of the truth of the gospel that you must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of heaven, and again, that in every city bonds and afflictions abide in you, and therefore you cannot expect that you should go long on your pilgrimage without them in some sort or other. You have found something of the truth of these testimonies upon you already, and more will immediately follow. For now, as you see, you are almost out of this wilderness, and therefore you will soon come into a town that you will by and by see before you. And in that town you will be hardly beset with enemies, who will strain hard, but they will kill you. And be sure that one or both of you must seal the testimony which you hold with blood. But be you faithful unto death, and the king will give you a crown of life. He that shall die there, although his death will be unnatural, and his pain perhaps great, he will yet have the better of his fellow, not only because he will be arrived at the celestial gate soonest, but because he will escape many miseries that the other will meet with in the rest of his journey. But when you are come to the town, and shall find fulfilled what I have here related, then remember your friend, and quit yourselves like men, and commit the keeping of your souls to your God in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Then I saw in my dream that when they were got out of the wilderness, they presently saw a town before them, and the name of that town is Vanity. And at the town there is a fair kept, called Vanity Fair. It is kept all the year long. It beareth the name of Vanity Fair, because the town where it is kept is lighter than Vanity, and also because all that is there sold, or that cometh thither, is vanity. As in the saying of the wise, all that cometh is vanity. This fair is no new erected business, but a thing of ancient standing. I will show you the original of it. Almost 5,000 years agone, there were pilgrims walking to the celestial city, as these two honest persons are, and Beelzebub, Apollyon, and Legion, with their companions, perceiving by the path that the pilgrims made that their way to the city lay through this town of Vanity, they contrived here to set up a fair wherein should be sold all sorts of vanity, and that it should last all the year long. Therefore, at this fair are all such merchandises sold, as houses, lands, trades, places, honours, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lusts, pleasures, and delights of all sorts, as whores, bawds, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and what not. And moreover, at this fair there is at all times to be seen jugglings, cheats, games, plays, fools, apes, knaves and rogues, and that of every kind. Here are to be seen too, and that for nothing, thefts, murderers, adulterers, forswearers, and that of a blood red colour. And as in other fairs of less moment, there are the several rows and streets under their proper names, where such and such wares are vended. So here likewise you have the proper places, rows, streets, namely countries and kingdoms, where the wares of this fair are soonest to be found. Here is the Britain Row, the French Row, the Italian Row, the Spanish Row, the German Row, where several sorts of vanities are to be sold. But as in other fairs, some one commodity is as the chief of all the fair, so the ware of Rome and her merchandise is greatly promoted in this fair. Only our English nation, with some others, have taken a dislike thereat. Now, as I said, the way to the celestial city lies just through this town, where this lusty fair is kept. And he that will go to the city, and yet not go through this town, must needs go out of the world. The prince of princes himself, when he went through this town to his own country, and that upon a fair day too, yea, and as I think it was Beelzebub, the chief lord of this fair, that invited him to buy of his vanities, yea, would have made him lord of the fair, would he but have done him reverence as he went through the town. Yea, because he was such a person of honour, Beelzebub had him from street to street, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a little time, that he might, if possible, allure that blessed one to cheapen and buy some of his vanities. But he had no mind to the merchandise, and therefore left the town without laying out so much as one farthing upon these vanities. This fair, therefore, is an ancient thing, of long standing, and a very great fair. Now, these pilgrims, as I said, must needs go through this fair. Well, so they did. But behold, even as they entered into the fair, all the people in the fair were moved, and the town itself, as it were, in a hubbub about them, and that for several reasons. For, first, the pilgrims were clothed with such a raiment as was diverse from the raiment of any that traded in that fair. The people, therefore, of the fair made a great gazing upon them. Some said they were fools, some they were bedlams, and some they were outlandish men. Secondly, and as they wondered at their apparel, so they did likewise at their speech, for few could understand what they said. They naturally spoke of the language of Canaan, but they that kept the fair were the men of this world, so that from one end of the fair to the other they seemed barbarians each to the other. Thirdly, but that which did not a little amuse the merchandisers was that these pilgrims set very light by all their wares. They cared not so much as to look upon them, and if they called upon them to buy, they would put their fingers in their ears and cry, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and look upwards," signifying that their trade and traffic was in heaven. One chanced mockingly, beholding the carriages of the men, to say unto them, "What will ye buy?" But they, looking gravely upon him, said, "We buy the truth." At that there was an occasion taken to despise the men the more, some mocking, some taunting, some speaking reproachfully, and some calling upon others to smite them. At last things came to an hubbub, and a great stir in the fair, insomuch that all order was confounded. Now was word presently brought to the great one of the fair, who quickly came down and deputed some of his most trusty friends to take these men into examination, about whom the fair was almost overturned. So the men were brought to examination, and they that sat upon them asked them whence they came, whither they went, and what they did there in such an unusual garb. The men told them that they were pilgrims and strangers in the world, and that they were going to their own country, which was the heavenly Jerusalem, and that they had given none occasion to the men of the town, nor yet to the merchandisers, thus to abuse them, and to let them in their journey. Except it was for that, when one asked them what they would buy, they said they would buy the truth. But they that were appointed to examine them did not believe them to be any other than bedlams and mad, or else such as came to put all things into a confusion in the fair. As the story continues, it doesn't take long for Faithful to realise that all which Christian had said about Talkative was true. Faithful poses a question to this man, who is all speech but no substance, and examines him on the true demonstration of God's work of grace in the heart. In Faithful's own words, the work of grace in the soul discovers itself either to him that has it or to standers by. Genuine Christianity will always be known and seen. Jesus calls his people to be lights and salt in this world. Talkative is pressed as to whether he himself knew this for himself, to which a protest is made. Following this, Faithful exposes Talkative for what he really is, but always with a desire that he might turn from such ways and embrace the truth. In our Christian witness, and as we engage with others, there will be occasions where we need to probe men and women regarding their profession And certainly if they are like talkative, this must be done with a heart of love and not arrogantly. But often it will meet with much disdain, as in the case of this man talkative, who now parts ways in anger. Christian and Faithful soon meet with another, and this time it is their faithful friend, Evangelist. Both these men had benefited immensely by his labours, and they so naturally rejoice in his company. Evangelist is equally glad to hear about them and their journey so far. He also urges them to keep on and to let the kingdom be always before them. Such words are needful for us. God raised up his messengers, preachers of the word, to be watchmen, to encourage, to exhort. Both pilgrims are thankful for this and long for his continued company. However, they must go alone, but not without another word in season. Evangelist solemnly warns them that along their way they will meet with a town called Vanity, where a continual fair is held all year long. Bunyan uses the language of Ecclesiastes especially as he depicts the world and all its attractions in this manner. All is empty, all is vanity. Evangelist warns the pilgrims that in such a place one will be required to seal his testimony by his blood, while the other will then carry on alone. With such thoughts, the two men then enter the town, and immediately by their own appearance and speech, the people of this vanity town soon realize they are not the same. Christians, though in this world, are at the same time pilgrims and strangers passing through it. But just even as the Lord himself passed through this town, unscathed, though not untried, so his people must follow the way of the Master.